Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity. Zoned out there for a moment. Let's just start by saying we just welcome to be up this morning. Just happy to be awake. We just want to thank God for just allowing us to make it through the night. And dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we just want to say, just come inside this broadcast. Take the wheel. Give us wisdom not to know the right things to do and the right way in which to go. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Gosh, something feels strange. I know what it is. I'm heading in the wrong direction this morning. Usually when we start this show, I am en route to lead a group of substance abuse education and felt like I was pretty prepared this morning and am unprepared, so I'm basically starting all over again. And so once you have a pattern or a routine, and it turns around or it gets off, it throws you off a little bit. But we generally end up recovering. And anyone that's listened to this broadcast knows that over the last 100, and this makes 126 episodes of Talk with Trinity, a show that was originally started 2014 March. And when I started doing 15 minutes on Saturday morning en route to do a Saturday class. And some mornings would be good. Some mornings would be not so good. My children have aged by 2 years just in the amount of time that it's taken. And I moved the broadcast from Saturday morning doing 15 minutes because I changed my schedule and stopped doing every Saturday working. And it was, a little difficult in waking up on Saturday morning. We didn't have to. And doing a show 8 to 8:15, some mornings would miss it. And I just wanted to try to stay consistent with what I am doing. And you say, well, how does that relate to education, enrichment, and enlightenment, which is the premise in which you fall under? How does that relate to June being Men's Health Month? And this would be is this the last week that we are in the month of June? Today is the 23rd. No, we got one more week in the month of June, which so this is the 23rd. The 30th will be our last day of June being Men's Health Month. And what I realized is in working with men for the last, 22 years. I mean, I have had females that have been on my caseload. I have had females that have done assessments and had to do classes, but primarily any class that I've ever had has been men. It never fails that we get into a conversation about relationships. Some have relationships and no longer have them. Some are in current relationships and some are in strained relationships. So whenever we get into the conversation about relationships, sure, I can go into communication and, being functional or dysfunctional or any of those different conversations that can come from talking about male and female relationships. But it never fails that we get into a conversation and the men are like, what are you talking about, Melissa? And what I say to them is that the way they wonder, how do their wives, girlfriends, babies, mamas, or anybody else know that their attention has been taken away from the relationship? And I tell them, I say, well, it is because of your pattern. If you start off a relationship calling the woman, you call her. You call her every day. You text her, every day. You start off doing that routinely. Then when you stop doing it, then you wonder why she becomes a suspect of whatever it is that you're doing. You might stop doing it because, I don't know, your work schedule, or but the woman usually establishes a foundation of how the relationship is going to go and the manner in which she does that, and she knows what her expectation is. You know, in a new relationship, when you, you know, good morning, and you know, she reciprocates with a good morning, or you send a good morning text and she sends a good morning text, and then you send a good day text and she sends a good day text, and then you send a good evening text, and then she sends a good evening text, and you reciprocate in that way, then if anything else becomes more important, then she'll say, well, why are you doing that? What happened? You know, same thing with, you used to call her during break time, lunchtime, break time, dinner time, break time, whatever, and you touch base with her, and then you'd stop doing that, and then when she asks you about it, you respond by saying, you know, I'm sorry, things got busy, you know, or whatever, then quite naturally she's going to say, well, what's going on? Why are you doing that? And when, if you, your reaction or your response to that will then determine, will share with her what's going on, you know, or you can say, well, it was, you know, in the job, you know, stop allowing me to be able to call out, or, you know, I decided that it was, I shouldn't do that. And then she says, well, okay, you know, that's fine, or she overlooks it or ignores it. Then you say, well, why are you getting so angry? And then it goes back and forth. And from there, she, you get upset with her, she gets upset with you. And what it is, the words are, it's trust and communication. And when the trust and the communication is broken, then you wonder, well, why doesn't she trust anything else you say? Well, it's because when you create a pattern or a routine of behavior and then it's affected, then you, that causes the trust to be broken. So, you know, you just have to be really mindful of that. And, well, do you press forward and say, well, no, we need to get things back on track? Or do you say, well, do you just continue to allow it to go on as it is? And, you know, with some people, it creates such a strain that they'll turn around and do something detrimental. And this has a lot to do with drugs and alcohol. It has a lot to do with relationships, and it has a lot to do with maintaining sobriety or recovery once it is started. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services. Trinity Counseling Services is 1801 North Tryon Street, and it's Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, phone number 704-333-2446, or 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215, area code 336-675-0075. And that is the numbers, and it is, we are a private substance abuse facility, primarily mental health disorders facility, established in 2005 in response to the need for services within the community, Mecklenburg County, eastern part, mid part of Charlotte, and also in Burlington, North Carolina, towards the west end of Burlington, where there's a great need for services for individuals that may be suffering from drugs and alcohol. And what we find is, Men's Health Month, what I have found over the many years is that, strangely enough, men always want something different and something new. And that desire to have something different and something new causes them to always stay seeking. Same thing with drugs and alcohol. If you've established a tolerance of drinking or a tolerance of using, then once that has basically leveled out or topped out, then you're always seeking a higher level. That's how you are able to go from drinking beer to drinking liquor, how you're able to go from drinking, smoking marijuana to using cocaine. You go from drinking 4% beer to 10% beer. You go from drinking once or twice in a month to nearly every day. You do the same thing in relationships. You get tired of relationships. You think that you get offered a better deal, and then you do whatever you need to do in order to get it. And so same thing in relationships applies. You develop a tolerance. So you desire to have more than one female. And then the withdrawal symptom is, if you don't have what you believe that you need, you begin to desire it. You crave it. You have urges. You want to go above and beyond your way to maybe satisfy what those needs are. It's the sound of music, it's the communication, it's the the interactions, it's the environment, it's everything that is around you. And you can say, okay, well, then you'll try to maintain more than one relationship. You didn't mean to do that. You didn't mean to develop a interaction with another individual. You didn't mean to do that. You didn't mean to be trying to sustain all of these different relationships all at once. You didn't mean to do that. That's larger amounts than you meant. You tried to stop. You tried to cut down. You tried to control it, which means basically you tried to not, be yourself, which is maybe someone that requires having more than one. Which is an addiction in itself. So when you don't get the drugs and the alcohol, you go into the number of relationships, you even spend a lot of time on it, work hours, sleep hours. You spend time seeking, using, and recovering. You position yourself in places where you know there are going to be opportunities, and when there are those opportunities present themselves, then you seek those out. That's why when your pattern is created with the one female you're with, you try to maintain that. But you can't text three or four different ladies. Or you could send a group text and hope that not all of them don't, you just send them individually, but send them as a group and hope all of them don't connect it. Hope it just shows up as one. You could do that. You could try to call everybody at break time. But if your break time, if you got to go to the bathroom and smoke, eat a snack, then your break time's already cut. So then you got to prioritize who you speak to. And then same thing with lunch, same thing with your next break, same thing with dinner. Or then when you come home at night, if you're exhausted from having these different conversations with all these different people, and then when you have someone that is wanting to share, then you're exhausted because you've already had those conversations. You've already connected emotionally. You've already connected spiritually, you've already connected mentally, you've already connected even physically, you've already done that. Then, so when these relationships come along, and then it's like someone is left wanting, that is what that is. And so that's hard to juggle, and it gets so hard that you're not managing to do what you should at home, at work, or at school, which is diagnosis for substance use disorders, but it can be diagnosis for an individual that, is maintaining relationships, or an individual that is maintaining bad relationships, or any of the other addictions and alcoholism that people suffer from, or issues that people suffer from. You're not able to manage all of that. It's only 24 hours in a day. It's only 168 hours in a week. So if you, you know, you got to prioritize and do all of that, something's going to be missing. You got to sleep. You got to get rest. You got to work. You got to spend time with kids. You got to take care of responsibilities. You got to do all that stuff. And it gets harder and harder and harder the more you add on it. And they're, you know, just depending on the involvement, you know, that may get less. And so then you're not managing. And when you stop being able to manage what you should at home, work, or school because of it, then there may be some complaints, you know, but then you'll begin to make excuses. In our group, the excuses group is defense mechanisms, and during those defense mechanisms, that's either lying, anger. You know, you go through all of these changes that basically is to try to hide the fact or to minimize or to delete what really may be going on with you. But then, you know, you can't, having problems in relationships, these problems, you know, it goes back to the trust and the respect and the and any other the communication of the relationship. Basic foundational relationship foundation is affected throughout that, and so continuing to use, you know, even when it causes problems in relationships. And sometimes what ultimately ends up happening in those relationships is totally losing them. It goes from I'm riding beside a transport of a horse, and that's very interesting. I always do a get distracted easily. But you go back to, so you're either not managing or totally losing the inability to maintain homework or school. That is when the individual gets tired and they kick you out, or you decide to leave. And then when that happens, then you end up leaving, or you end up getting kicked out, and then you have to figure out then what. You know, so you weren't able to maintain the house, you weren't able to maintain the responsibilities, you weren't able to maintain work, because you get kicked out. Then you teeter back and forth between where you're going to stay, how you're going to take care of your basic hygiene, how are you going to care for yourself, or how is any of that stuff going to be taken care of. And then after that, it says continue to use despite having a physical or psychological problem. And sometimes if you experience trauma, abuse, bad relationships, that causes some type of psychological issues. It could be post-traumatic stress disorder, it could be anxiety, it could be depression. It may just very well be a personality disorder. And if it is the case, and then you continue to have bad relationships, feeling and believing that doesn't have anything to do with you, it has everything to do with the other person, then you actually may need to consider some longer-term, more interactive treatment that will help to decide where the problem or the pattern or the routine was created, and how to create new patterns, new routines, and new aspects of life that doesn't involve using, or doesn't involve bad relationships, or doesn't involve any of the addictive things that have happened. And so for men's health, you know, today's conversation is basically talking about, you know, the whole relationships, and it goes back to when I talk to men and I let them know, your lady is not an idiot. If you spent any amount of time with her, she is going to pick up on what it is you're doing, and she is going to acknowledge it, and she's going to respond to it in a variety of ways that may be verbal, mental, emotional, or spiritual. She may just wait. I mean, you got a variety. There's a variety of women and men that when there's something that is not quite right in their home, not quite right in their relationship, they may react or they may act. And they may act in just a manner that you may not be expecting. You know, with addiction and alcoholism, it's chaotic, it's confusing, you know, it's manipulating. And so you may feel like that, but if an individual is rooted and grounded in recovery, what they come to realize is the process is going to be what it's going to be. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen. It, you know, it says God grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We can only change what it is that we do, how we respond, how we interact, and just keep ourselves going. And as counselors, very rarely do I have individuals that share openly about their families, share openly about their relationships, share openly about their situations. And it's partially because I don't ask, and almost because I don't ask, don't fail, or I wait until the process presents itself. And with the individuals that are in the program, they're only in there 8 sessions, 10 sessions, 12 sessions, 16 sessions. You know, in 16 sessions, you start to see, but if there's even no consistency there, then you still may struggle. Most of the time, the men will wait until the very end and then say, you know, here's the true extent of the problem. You know, by it being a drug and alcohol program, when we bring up relationship issues, first response that they have is, why are you asking me about family stuff? And it's really interesting because the way that the dynamic works is when you ask them about the true extent of the alcoholism and addiction, they hide that. When you ask about the true extent of the relationship, they hide that. Or they'll act in a different way, you know, to maybe present it differently to other individuals. And so it's all a setup. It's the way that addiction and alcoholism works. And if a person is not able to pick up on that, or not able to see it, or is unfamiliar with it, just unfamiliar territory, then they're going to respond one way. If they are familiar with it, but their desires are greater than their wisdom, then they'll respond a different way. And that's usually what happens with men and their relationships. And when they enter into relationships with multiple women, you have women that are willing to date or to be involved with men that are in relationships simply because the full responsibility, they enable them to have the fun and the freedom without the power and the responsibility, you know, without the connections. They're just able to do that. There are women that are able to do that, and there are men that are able to do that. And that's either fortunate or unfortunate simply because it can be detrimental, it can progress, it can become fatal. There's no surprise when you read in the news or you hear about, like, abuse, domestic violence situations. You know, that's a level to all the way to stalking and criminal harassment. That's a level. It all starts, continues, and culminates usually, hopefully, more positively, if the individuals are working, are progressing, are grinding for the relationship in the same direction. But if you have an individual pulling one way and another individual pulling another way, that can become more harmful. With the substance use disorder, which is the diagnosis that was applied into this discussion, the only way out of it is having an honest desire for help. That's someone saying that, you know, I keep seeking and I'm not finding. It must be something in me. And then being told that the issue can be arrested, You know, you don't have to succumb to addiction and alcoholism, but you don't get it. You don't get an opportunity to, you know, like, let me table this discussion or let me table this decision until, you know, sometime in the future. You don't get that opportunity when it presents itself. It's either you resist it or you succumb to it. There's no gray in that. And what I realize is there are some men, you know, like kids, you know, if you tell them things, well, some of them will run the rules all the way up until, you know, they go past the rules, and then they'll learn how far they can go. And once they learn how far they can go, then that's what they'll do. And so, like kids, like men, and like relationships, you know, just setting healthy boundaries, setting the parameters of the relationship where no one will be hurt, no one will feel taken advantage of, and no one will feel abused is really important to the healthy nature of the relationship, the healthy nature of recovery. And, you know, you have the honeymoon stage, that's the initial relationship, and then when it becomes real, when you begin to see different signs and symbols standing out, then reacting to those and you know, or acting towards those and saying, listen, you know, here's what the for real is, here's what's going to be accepted, here's what's going to happen. You can either go back into bad behavior, or you can you know, progress into more positive behavior, thereby learning a lesson from the experience. But then, you know, people make decisions. Well, you know, in relationships, you think, well, if you got a better option over here on the left, then you probably should go there, because this option that you have on the right, you know, is just terrible versus working through it. And they tell you early in recovery, 6 months in, You don't want to make those kind of decisions. You want to make it a year, at least a year, to just kind of see how things go. When you get about 9 months in, you begin to believe you can do some things on your own. You know, you don't want to take on responsibility of an apartment. You don't want to take on that. Some men get fed up with the relationship and decide, well, I'll probably, you know, should move out and take on these extra bills and things like that. But that might not be the best solution. And then, you know, believing that you can do that, which causes more stress and responsibility and, you know, not being able to do it. And then you find yourself in another relationship, living in another, you know, dysfunctional place, and the cycle just starts all over again. But then when you get to about a year, you begin to look in deep inside and realize, here lies what I need to do. I need to change my behavior. I need to focus on things a little more clearly, and I need to do the things that I need to do that are important, that help to fulfill a purpose. And this concludes our information for today, Men's Health Month. This is our 126th episode. Hey, I missed the 100th. Don't hesitate to call or write melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. And we are beginning to plan for our National Recovery Month. So next week, in the conclusion of Men's Health Month, we will enter into July without a theme, but with the introduction of what National Recovery Month is for the month of September, some of our plans and things like that. And then, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to come together. Thank you for the opportunity to share with one another, gain the wisdom, knowledge, and instruction that will be important for us for the rest of our day. And as we go forward with this day, Heavenly Father, just go with us. Keep our minds, keep our bodies, keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed week.